And new listeners may question that. But I urge you to go back and listen to the development of the argument. Listen to that synthesis that we've been exploring systematically here in this space. And we'll be developing it further as we read, delve into the formation of this ideology, this master class self-justification with Emmanuel Wallerstein's Modern World System 4. But whether you dispute or not that, I mean, there's no dispute that these EMF weapons exist. I don't think if we are honest with ourselves and given the history of their experimentation on us, that any of us can doubt that they have experimented, they have tested these weapons on those they consider worthless. This is what they've done from day one. But whether or not we choose to believe we have lost our loved ones unbeknownst, it changes nothing in terms of the theft of our unique gifts, which is an ongoing assumption of the regime of class. And it is that that this space has been challenging from day one. That being the key discussion we need to start having. Is that right? Why, if you think so? What justifies it? These are the taboo discussions we don't hear over the airwaves that we have to do for ourselves. So, killing in secret, powers MO. And I think they may be concerned that what if this comes out? They're testing these EMF weapons on folk. This massive slaughter that goes on unbeknownst. I think they may want to make sure that if that ever comes out, we are so dulled in our sensibilities as to assume, well, that's just these power guys. That's what they do. That's power. And, well, they provide us with our food and comfort. So what can you do? What is the thrust of almost every TV show my son watches? Killing people's not so bad. I mean, I was truly shocked because it's a long story, but I don't watch TV. Is it still called TV? I don't watch these productions. I don't even get to go to see a film anymore. It's like if I'm not almost, it's almost as if I have to move constantly, even in my own home. They are that dead set on eliminating me now. I mean, these guys are so grim. I am not kidding you. Okay, no, let's don't start. What is the thrust of almost every TV show my son watches? Killing people's not so bad. It's all relative, morally neutral even. It all depends on context, on what the state feels is needed. Read. Because what we've been discussing in this space, the fact that the state is in all of us. This is the utilitarian mindset is in all of us until we consciously exercise it. So that's the reference here. It all depends on what the state feels is needed. Read, quote, from Popper, morality is nothing but political hygiene, unquote. He noted that a half century or so ago. He was talking about Plato, but Plato lives in the global state statesman. They thought they had discovered something magical in taking his book literally as a playbook because it worked so effectively to suppress us. I mean, does anybody doubt this? See that there was a global movement to get free when they unleashed this disaster on us, starting by reinventing child rearing. Flip things totally in their favor. Plato lives in the global state statesman. And this theme of killing people is relative. It's morally, it's not a clear-cut thing. That's a new development. It's designed to dull our sensibilities, make us more like them. Because this is obviously their mindset. So that they'll feel safer, safe from any threat of challenge. And what is this mindset inherent in the totalitarian creed and its defining practice of child alienation? Dualism, collective utility, the deification of mind, contempt for the material, the real, the concrete, for what Marx with the ancient Greeks would call necessity, into which category necessarily their children and then ours were placed, all for the sake of the idea of the perfect state that manifests, expresses, and elevates the quote-unquote best, from which striving to achieve the goal of the most perfect human being arises, identified as supreme, the philosopher king. How much damage has this one man, Plato, done? It is incalculable. But one thing is certain. It is on his authority that the abandoned children who would be gods have contaminated society with the glorification of their own fundamental dishonesty, their obsession with hiding and lying. Let's hear from Popper one more time. Quote, the contrast between the Platonic and the Socratic creed is even greater than I have shown so far. Plato, I have said, followed Socrates in his definition of the philosopher. Whom do you call true philosophers? Those who love truth, we read in the Republic. But he himself is not quite truthful when he makes this statement. He doesn't really believe it, for he bluntly declares in other places that it is one of the royal privileges of the sovereign to make full use of lies and deceit. Quote, this is from the Republic, it is the business of the rulers of the city, if it is anybody's, to tell lies, deceiving both its enemies and its own citizens for the benefit of the city, and no one else must touch this privilege. Unquote from the Republic. And Popper comments, for the benefit of the city, says Plato. Again, we find the appeal to the principle of collective utility is the ultimate ethical consideration. Totalitarian morality overrides everything, even the definition, the idea of the philosopher. It need hardly be mentioned that by the same principle of political expediency, the ruled are to be forced to tell the truth. If, quote, this is from the Republic, if the ruler catches anyone else in a lie, then he will punish him for introducing a practice which injures and endangers the city, unquote. Only in this slightly unexpected sense are the Platonic rulers, the philosopher kings, lovers of truth. Plato illustrates this, and this is still Karl Popper. Plato illustrates this application of his principle of collective utility to the problem of truthfulness by the example of the physician, and Bentham took that metaphor too from Plato. The example is well chosen, since Plato likes to visualize his political mission as one of the healer or savior of the sick body of society. What kind of lies has Plato in mind when he exhorts his rulers to use strong medicine? Crossman rightly emphasizes that Plato means propaganda, the technique of controlling the behavior of the bulk of the ruled majority, unquote. Certainly, Plato had these first in his mind. But when Crossman suggests that the propaganda lies were only intended for the consumption of the ruled, while the rulers should be a fully enlightened intelligentsia, then I cannot agree. I think rather that Plato's complete break with anything resembling Socrates' intellectualism is nowhere more obvious than in the place where he twice expresses his hope that even the rulers themselves, at least after a few generations, might be induced to believe his greatest propaganda lie. I mean his racialism, his myth of blood and soil, known as the myth of the metals in man and of the earthborn. Here we see that Plato's utilitarian and totalitarian principles overrule everything even the ruler's privilege of knowing and of demanding to be told the truth. The motive of Plato's wish that the rulers themselves should believe in the propaganda lie is his hope of increasing its wholesome effect, i.e., of strengthening the rule of the master race, and ultimately of arresting all political change. Unquote. From The Open Society and Its Enemies, The Spell of Plato. And in this compulsive need of powers to lie, to stay hidden, to punish the disobedient, and eliminate the unneeded or merely deficient, we see a key repetition compulsion. They, these 10,000 diehard misanthropists, have been afraid of us and afraid of us and afraid of us for, let's say for the sake of convenience, 2.5 centuries, ever since the French Revolution. They have projected all of their fear of the unknown onto us. This is, for our purposes, perhaps their most devastating repetition compulsion. But it is derived from another, more basic one, their need to win affection, to prove they deserve our attention because they are the best. This is the key side effect of abandonment, of loss of the mother's affection.